Just a couple of things to fill you in with what's happening in Barton. All excited to hear about what's going on in Barton?
Yeah, okay,
great. We'll get to the food bank in a minute, but just something to encourage you. Revival hasn't broken out yet. I know we're praying for it, okay? But story of a man called Scott. Scott has lived, born in Blackburn Leys, lived around Oxford, got dreadlocks. He's been growing them for 30 years. He's early 50s. Was homeless, been homeless for 2 years, and was living in a tent at the top of Barton in the woods. We got involved with him then. We've done all sorts of things with Scott. He then found a shed right next to the Barton Neighborhood Center in the back of a garden. The house was being renovated, and he lived there for about 6 months. And we supported him, and he came to church, helped with the cooking, did all that type of thing. He's got problems. He's into alcohol. He's into a bit of drugs. He's a really nice guy. I like Scott very much. And we as a church, and particularly myself, have poured quite a bit into him with a lot of time, with some others as well that we have spent a lot of time with. And we got to get him somewhere to stay. And I've managed to get him somewhere to stay in Chipping Norton on a mobile home park. He has two dogs, Staffies. That have to be muzzled all the time. So it was very hard to get him housed and get him anywhere. So we've managed to get him somewhere in Chipping Norton. And with him and others, I was just another guy. I'm supporting, you know, it's you talk to them about the Lord, you pray for them, you tell them that God's after them and that he's there for them. And it gets to the point where I'm taking him over to Chipping Norton to get the contract for the mobile home. And in the morning, I'm praying. I'm saying, God, we've really poured into these people. And I poured into Scott. I'm going to miss him. Like having him around. People love him. He's that type of guy. Bit of a rogue, but a nice rogue. And I said, God, you need to speak. You just need to speak. Speak into, you know, something break. So anyway, we go over to the mobile home park. And there's Hugh, who owns the mobile home. And his name's Hugh Fury. He's related to the famous Fury the Boxer. Somehow or other, they're all related, these travelers. He's a traveler. And I'm actually, because he can't read and write, I'm actually filling out the contract for him. And I'm not that brilliant. If you know me, spelling and all that type of thing. And here I am trying to fill this contract. And he's telling me what to put into this contract on the top of my car, ready for Scott to take to Crisis so they can fill out all the forms to get his housing allowance. It's a bit of a long story, but it's just amazing. It's like the things you get caught up in. And then Hugh turns around to me and he says, are you a born-again Christian? And his gruff little voice. I said, yeah, I'm a born-again Christian. Are you a born-again Christian? He goes, nods his head. He says, you know what? He says, we've got a church here on the site. The church is 100 meters from where his mobile home is. You just come out of his little lane, the church is in front. Big cross on top of the church. I said, come on, Scott. We went down. I've taken his photograph inside the church, taken photographs of him outside the church. And I said, Scott, you can't get away from God. Hallelujah. Amen. I prayed in the morning. Now, if you're not a person of faith, just chance. It was just chance that he happened to go to that mobile home out in the middle of Chipping Norton, out in the middle of nowhere, where I was worried about him. And yet there are Christians there ready to take over. It's lovely, isn't it? The other thing is our food bank is up and running, and that's great. We're averaging about 3 or 4 people each time we open. We open on Monday and Wednesday. And the main food bank at St. Francis opens Tuesday and Friday, and the Baptist Church in Littlemore opens on the Thursday. So we have cover. But the idea was that some people had talked about us driving people over. I wanted something in the community where now people are coming in. So when they come in, we say we have a community lunch once a month. You know, if you need food and need to come and have some fellowship, we have a chance to share what we're doing with people. So that is really good. And I know we've got a little box out there with a community emergency food bank just outside that, those two doors there. It'd be great to see that filled up. I'm thinking of getting your little shopping trolley so you can put some food in there, donations. It helps tremendously. It helps these families very practically. Somebody just went into hospital, even from our church, went into hospital, wasn't able to get food and stuff. I was able to put a parcel together, fill out a form, and meet that need. So There's a box there, and as I say, I'm going to see if we can get a little mini trolley for you. You can put some stuff in there on a Sunday as part of your offering. That would be great. So thank you for your prayers, and thank you as a church for your commitment to Barton. You know, through James and Marion and many others, it's just been a real expression of the heart of the church for the community there. But thank you for what you do for it. Well, shall we get on with our message? Okay, if you turn to Ephesians chapter 3, verse 7. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 7. And we will read to verse 21. I became a servant of this gospel by the gift of God's grace given me through the working of his power. Although I am less than the least of all God's people, this grace was given me to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make plain to everyone the administration of this mystery, which for ages past was kept hidden in God, who created all things. His intent was that now through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms, according to his eternal purpose, which he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. In him and through him, we may approach God with freedom and confidence. I ask you, therefore, not to be discouraged because of my sufferings, which are your glory. For this reason, I kneel before the Father, whom is the whole family in heaven and earth, derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have the power together with all the saints to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. And to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of the fullness of God. Now to him who is able immeasurably more than we ask or imagine, according to his power that is in work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations, forever and ever. Amen. To know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of the fullness of God. Whenever we talk about love, in a world in which we live where love is very confused, it's a word where we say, oh, I love my cup of coffee in the morning, or, oh, I love just lying in on a Saturday morning. I love this, I love that, I love the other. You really do have to look at what love really means when we come to look at God's love and look at Christian love and how that works out in our lives. So we need to understand what love is. Love is not just the feeling. It's great when you have the feelings, but it's not just the feeling. It is an act of your will. You have to determine to love. And it's great sometimes when you've seen people who have determined to love and then the feelings have followed. And I've wrestled with this a number of times because I'm one of these people, I love to feel things. I love to feel passion. I love to feel God. I'm a Pentecostal at heart. You know, that's where we are. We want to feel the power, you know, and all that sort of stuff. But it can cause problems. It can cause problems because I have a dad who really loves me. I know he loves me. But I don't have feelings about that all the time. I'm very secure in my father's love. I know he's interested in me. I know he's interested in my family. And he loves my children. And I just know that I love him. And I know he loves me. But I don't go through the whole day having feelings about my dad. I don't go through the day thinking, oh, I don't feel my dad at the moment. And is he loving me at the moment? Or where am I with that? I know. I know how he's behaved in the past. I know how he behaves now. I know how he prays for me. I know all these things. And I know that if he could stop some of the bad things that maybe happened to me, he would. But he knows I've got to grow. And you're God, your Heavenly Father's the same. Some of you have got things going on in your life and you think, God, take them away. But he's a good father. He knows what he's doing. We've got to trust him, and he loves you. We have to understand what love is, as the song goes. I need to understand what love is. Love is not just a feeling, it's an act of your will, and it's a knowing. It's a knowing that you are loved by God. See, and also love is other-focused. That's another thing about love. It doesn't rest, like, there is a love of self, that's a balanced thing, but love is other-focused. So that's one of the tests of love, isn't it? That it cares about the other, is interested in the other. Love is other-focused. Love, the Bible says in 1 John, is God. God is love. And even though sometimes we don't understand so many things that happen to us, that is what the scripture says, and that is what we experience. And when I see family, when I see people behaving in loving and wonderful ways, it just reassures me that God is love. The Bible even says that God puts the lonely in families. God is just a great God. And love is summed up in this, 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And it's not just to be read at marriages. When I was preparing this message, I was thinking, I need to read this every day. I really do. It's amongst other things that I've learned this 3 or 4 weeks I've been preparing this. It says this, love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It's not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It's not easily angered. Doesn't mean that you won't get angry. Jesus got angry. But it's not easily angered. It's angered for the right things. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects. I love that. It always protects. Even to hurting itself. Have you ever protected somebody in such a way that it actually did not help you? In fact, it might have even been to your disadvantage. But you protected. You covered. It's beautiful. Always trusts. Always hopes. Always perseveres. Love never fails. God is love. Can any of you, because I certainly can't, say that I live up to that? I don't. But God, by His Spirit, can help us live up to that. The ultimate, most awesome expression and revelation of the love of God is the person and work of Jesus. He exemplified 1 Corinthians 13, 4, and 5, 6, and 7. It's the ultimate expression and revelation of God's love. And the important thing that we need to understand here is the Holy Spirit is the one who reveals Christ and His love to us. Through the Word, through His people, living out His Word, but it's the Holy Spirit that does the work. We have to recognize the work of the Holy Spirit in enabling us to know God's love and to express God's love, like 1 Corinthians 13. Entering God's love is all about who He is. Entering His love is understanding who He is, because we're actually entering into Him. You know, not just into a feeling, not just into something. We're entering into God. God is love. And through salvation, and it has to be through salvation, we can enter His presence. We enter His love because His love is radiating all the time to a lost world. And it's expressed itself through Jesus Christ. And it's radiating and radiating and radiating His love. But unless through salvation we come to Christ, we do not experience that love. And we don't have the knowledge of that love and the confidence of that love without coming to Him through faith in Jesus, asking that our sins would be forgiven, that our hearts would be cleansed, and that our hearts would be able, by the power of the Holy Spirit, to contain that love. so important? Why should Jesus, the power of the Holy Spirit and the love of God, come and live in a dirty house? It's when it's been cleansed through the precious blood of Jesus. I say the work of God is all the work of God. It's not your work, it's God's work. When we do that, we can come boldly into his presence. Hebrews 4:16, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace in time of need. We can come boldly. I was listening to a message by Timothy Keller. I love Timothy Keller. I encourage you, if you like that type of deep teaching, you're not going to get deep teaching today. You're going to get basic teaching today. But he said something really amazing. He said, you know when we're said to say, Abba, Father? And we often translate like that, like daddy. He said, but it's not. He said, actually, it goes more basic than that. It's like running to God saying, Papa, Papa. Do you know what? Just that revelation to me this few weeks, I've been praying, saying, Papa, move in my heart, Papa. You know, that sort of primal cry to God is what God has given you. He's allowing you to say that. And actually, you can come boldly into his presence and you can speak like any child would to the Father. Isn't that amazing? It's so amazing. And that's just blessed me. So thank you, Chris, for giving me this message to give, because I've been feeding on that. He's Papa. The God of the universe, where you can't go anywhere in this universe. You can't go anywhere without him being there. You can go to the highest heaven. You can go to the deepest hell. He is there, and he's your Papa. That's what Jesus did for you. See, Jesus is his Son incarnate, and he is his Abba Father. But Jesus has brought us into the same place where we can have the same relationship with Jesus that Jesus has. And call him Papa. All because of Jesus. It's amazing. We can come boldly into his presence. And we can stay in his presence. You know, sometimes as you grow older, you forget certain things that were very important to you. But I used to love reading the Christian mystics. This guy called Brother Lawrence used to call it practicing the presence of God. I'm not sure whether that's the right sort of practicing his presence. I think it's learning how to be in his presence, how to remain in his presence, I think is probably more the thing. But there used to be books out like practicing the presence of God. And I just think that's really important that we learn to stay in his presence. First of all, we need to enter. Romans 5:1. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God, but we also rejoice in our sufferings, because we know that our suffering produces perseverance, character, and character hope. And hope does not disappoint us, because God has poured out his love into our hearts. God has poured out his love into your heart. Is your heart open? Is your heart in a place where it can just have the love of God poured into it? His love poured into our hearts by the Holy Spirit. It's by the Holy Spirit pouring into our hearts. Verse 8 says, but God demonstrates his love for us, and while we're sinners, Christ died for us. He died for us. He shows his love to us, and he pours his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit whom he has given us. Then abide. We enter, but we want to abide in his presence. One of the things that I read was, I thought was just a beautiful thing, because it's always meant a lot to me, this whole idea of Noah's ark and how God rescued them and kept them in the ark. And this particular thing that I read was this, Genesis 7:16. So they entered into the ark, and they went in as God had commanded him, and the Lord shut him in. It says, the Lord shut him in. Lord, shut me into your presence. Shut me into your salvation. I know it sounds a bit Calvinistic, doesn't it? You know, that, you know, and you, once God's got you locked in, you can't get out. Well, I like that idea, I got to say, and I'm not a theologian, but I love that idea that when you enter his salvation, he locks you in. He locks the door. You might run around the ark not behaving yourself very well, but you're locked in. I love it. Love it. When we enter our ark, Jesus, who's Jesus, we abide in his love. John 15:10. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love. You will experience that love. You'll have confidence in that love. You will know that love. Just as I've kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. What an example Jesus is in every way. In him, we are shut up into his heart of love. And we couldn't be more, possibly more loved or safer anywhere else. It's an abiding in Christ by faith. We grow and continue in the reality of that love. My final point here is rest. The Bible talks a lot about entering God's rest. Don't know about you, but I end up striving sometimes. I end up getting so tired and my brain's running around. And it's interesting, Dave mentioned about, you know, all the things running around people's minds and hearts. Do you know what? There is a place of rest for the people of God. And it's in his heart of love. It's resting in his love. Wherever we are, whatever is happening in our lives. Let us enter his rest by entering into his heart of love. That is offering himself. He's offering himself to you to rest in him. Sometimes we can walk in that rest, but sometimes we have to make a decision to rest. Some of us are too busy. We're running around everywhere. And sometimes we need to take that time to rest in his love. Read his word, pray. But talk. When we talk about prayer, it's just fellowship with God, sharing our hearts with him and him sharing his heart with us. That's how prayer should be. We need to try and develop that type of prayer. To be warmed and cherished, let us enter into his love because that is who he is. 1 John 4:8 has a powerful verse there. Whoever does not love does not know God. Because God is love. This is how we know we're in the family. Your love may not be perfect, just like mine's not perfect, but I know I love God, and I know I love God's people, no matter how imperfectly that is. And I know that that was the work of God, because that's not how I'm wired. By my sinful nature, I am naturally selfish and wrapped up in myself. It's only through God that that has changed. So enter into it, bask in it, rest in the outcome of entering in and abiding in him. The outcome should be rest. It's a beautiful verse I came over when looking at this. And it's about Benjamin, who's, you know, part of the tribes of Israel. And Deuteronomy 33 is talking about this tribe. About Benjamin, he said, "Let the beloved of the Lord rest secure in him, for he shields him all day long. And the one the Lord loves rests between his shoulders." The one the Lord loves rests between his shoulders. Isn't that amazing? He's carrying you, friends, because he loves you. You may not know it sometime. You ever seen that footprints in the sand? "Lord, I only saw one set of footprints." Well, Jesus says, that's when I was carrying you. The one the Lord loves rests between his shoulders. What an amazing shoulders our God has, eh? Carries more than the whole world on his shoulders, amen? Where there's no striving, only in his strength only. Sometimes we're told to strive, but God never asks us to strive in our own strength. We're to strive in his strength. We're to strive in his strength through the power of the Holy Spirit to enter our rest, to enter into his love, to stay and abide in that place. Nehemiah 8:10 says, "The joy of the Lord is your strength." a place where there is no fear. I don't know about you, but I am very naturally a fearful person. I maybe told you I did some things because I was frightened of parachuting. I joined the parachute squadron of the RAF regiment. It was only because I was fear. I used to wake up at night and I'd be sweating and I'd jumped out of a plane and the chute hadn't opened. And the only way, because I wasn't walking with God at the time, the only way I thought I could deal with fear was to face it. So I joined the parachute squadron. I'm still here to tell the story. I've jumped a number of times. I'm all right. But that's not how God wants it. That wasn't God's way of dealing with my fear. Fear of death. Bible says there is no fear in love. That's the real secret. There's no fear in love. But perfect love drives out fear. The more of God you have in your life, the more that your heart is filled with Him, there is no room for fear. It's an open secret. Perfect love drives out fear because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. And it goes on to say, we love because He first loved us. What a wonderful thing that we can be free of fear. Or when fear comes, we can say, Lord, I want to enter your love. You fill my heart with your love. Make there be no room for the fear. Finally, I just want to share with you some things on a slide. I think they're all great. You might be saying this, not experience God's love as you should or would expect. And it might be the problem, and I want to finish with this, of the divided heart. Has anyone heard of Ian McCormack? The jellyfish man, you know, four jellyfish, Boxford jellyfish, he should have been dead, went to heaven and came back to life. He's really developed a fantastic teaching ministry as well as his testimony, being known for his testimony. And when I was looking into this stuff, this came up. He started talking about his life and serving God, and God started to speak to him. And if you can see that, that is my poor drawing of the picture that came up on the video that I was watching it of his ministry. And he was saying that, you know, his heart was, God was saying his heart was like this pot. And his heart, God was pouring in his love by the power of the Holy Spirit. But there were these taps at the bottom of his heart. You can see the taps there. And one of the taps would be his wife. The other tap would be his family. The other one would be his church. The other one would be this, that, that. And for Ian, being Australian, one of the taps was his sport. He's really into sport. And he said these were all the things that his heart and his loves were. His love, obviously, for his family. His love for his wife. His love for his sport. His love for this. His love for church and for ministry. Church being God's people. But it was all, these taps were just open and pouring out. And he said the cracks, God told him that the cracks where the water was coming through the cracks. He said, because I'm in ministry and people sense that God's anointing is on me, he said, people crash into me. It's like after a service, maybe those of you who minister here might feel it. People come to you and say, pray for me, or I'm in need. And it's where they crash into you and you're beginning to give out again. He said, God said to him, your heart's like that. Your heart's church, wife, husband, partner, family, ministry, other, sport, whatever. Whatever your heart really is for and that you love. And it's the divided heart. This is what God spoke to me more about than anything else. That I have a divided heart. And it was just so powerful. And this is just me preparing to come and minister to you guys. That I've got a divided heart. And where does God fit into the divided heart? Church, wife, husband, family, ministry, other? God? How much does God get of your heart? And we always talk about the pie chart, you know, time, work, family, all that sort of thing. But think about the things that you love. You love the church, love your wife, your husband. One of the biggest issues for me was when I first started dating Dawn, I wondered how I could love Jesus more than I could love her. There was a real challenge in that when I first started dating. And I had to really work through that with God, that He has to come first. But it's interesting This whole thing of the divided heart, you've got to guard your heart, the Bible says, because out of it comes the issues of life. So suddenly, years on, I'm looking and I'm preparing this message thinking, Paul, you've got a divided heart. Your whole heart belongs to God. Your whole heart belongs to God. Okay? And finally, this is what God said to Ian McCormack. He said, give me your whole heart. Give me your whole heart. He said, and the rest will get the overflow. The rest will get the overflow. There will be plenty for your wife, your husband, your partner, your children, your church. But how many of us are operating out of the overflow? I was so challenged by it. And it takes faith to give God your heart. To say, God, here is my heart. Here are the things that I hold dear. But I'm saying they're secondary. I want to give you everything. I want to give you my heart. So you can just pour into my heart so that there's just overflow. That I'm not cracked. That I'm not being drawn. That I'm not near breaking point. I'm not near burnout. But I'm in the overflow. You know, so many ministers, people like myself, who've got divided hearts, end up having breakdowns. I do not believe that as Christians we should have breakdowns. It happens. I've just confessed, you know, that if I don't get this right and get before God, because God's spoken to me, it's my responsibility in that sense to recognize my need. It's when I come to him and by the power of the Holy Spirit, allow him to work, not striving in my own strength, but striving in the strength that he will give me as I say, Lord, I want to give you my whole heart. And I want, Lord God, every bit of ministry, everything else in my life will be out of the overflow. There's nothing more important, friends, than your relationship to God. This life will come to an end. And I have made a lot of mistakes in my ministry, in my life, and everything else. But you know what? Today's a new day. I can't live in the past. I can learn from the past, but I can determine today and say, God, with your help, I want to move forward. And this is not suddenly, you know, like today it's all fixed, and today, God, you've got my heart. It's a daily walk. Maybe like me, you might need to every day read 1 Corinthians 13:4. You might have to do that. Just allow God to soak into you. This is God, and I want to enter into this. Where's your heart? What's your heart's desire this morning? This is my desire, to honor you. Lord, with all my heart, I worship you. All I have within me, I give you praise. All that I adore is in you. Lord, I give you my heart. I give you my soul. I live for you alone. What's saying there is that you're living for him, but it's the overflow for everybody else. Every breath I take, every moment I'm awake, Lord, have your way in me. This is my desire, to honor you. Lord, with all my heart, I worship you. There's going to be a few challenges from me from this message and how I go into my week. I can be another message that I preached, another message I've learned some things from, or it can be something that actually I can start sorting my heart out a bit. I'd just like to pray and then hand over to David. But unfortunately, I'm already standing, but while every head's bowed and every eye's closed, if you want to stand and say, God, I recognize I've got a divided heart, and I can't fix that myself, but I can actually say, Lord, I want to give you my heart. I want to give you my all. I want to live in the overflow. Lord, I make that stand today with your help, with your strength. So if you want to, when I'm praying, you can just stand with me. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, I pray that what we've shared this morning is not something that in our minds is impossible. To really give you our whole heart and to live in the overflow, where we're able to minister, where we're able to be great parents, great husbands, great wives, great friends, great church family. It's totally possible. Your word never asks us to do anything that, Lord, you cannot enable us to do. Lord, we want to, Lord, enter your love. We want to abide in your love. And we want to rest in your love. I pray for each one of us. You know our hearts. There's nothing that we can hide from you. There's nothing that we're going through that you don't know. I pray for each person here. Wherever we are in our walk with you, that they will experience and know your love. In Jesus' name.